Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
We're recording this podcast with a very frozen Trevor Panzak. How are you?
I am very cold.
Man.
I can't believe it. We just set a world record last night for cold.
It's like minus 50s, right?
It's crazy with the wind chill what we're experiencing in the prairies.
Do you work outside? I know you have a little side hustle besides the music. Do you work outside?
My side hustle, I used to be the face of the local Lethbridge Dodge dealership here, and when COVID hit, there's a handful of us that got let go. So I haven't done that since April the 1st. So what I did last year was I went farming for some family friends of ours. I grew up on a farm. So that's what I did all last year. And then I always wanted to get my class one driver's license. So I actually did that last week, and I've been trucking. So I've been outside. It's been miserable.
Yeah, man. So are you outside, like, with just getting the loads good, or like what's your outside exposure like in minus 50?
Well, we have to keep an eye on the auger that's loading the Super Bees with canola and lentils and whatever we're hauling, and so we're out for a little bit, but thank goodness the trucks are warm and we can get inside when it gets a little bit too much to handle.
I don't want to cause any trouble, but you should go to your the dealer to let you go. I saw a news story today saying people are going to take all this extra money they're saving because they're not going out, and they're buying vehicles. So, just saying, you know.
So where do you recommend I go?
Congratulations on being the trending track winner. And you don't have to say nice things about it because we are Stingray and I'm Stingray and we help pick it. But, what is it like to find out that news, and where were you when you were told that, hey, yes, you are going to be the trending track winner?
You know what? It was amazing to get that news. I was actually doing a little apprenticing with another trucker, when Bob Martineau, my tracker, was trying to get a hold of me. He phoned me 8 times, on a Monday or Tuesday morning. I thought it's either terrible news or really good news. So when I finally got parked, I phoned him and he's like, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I said, I know. So he told me that Stingray had added the song, and I was just like, I didn't understand at first. I thought he meant like Stingray, the satellite station, which they added it at Christmas time. I'm like, well, I thought we covered that. He says, no, we're talking Stingray Canada. They're all the radio stations. Like, holy crap, this is amazing.
Well, it's
and
funny.
Oh, on ahead, top sorry. Of that, Shiloh, I didn't even have to use all those compromising photos of you to get on the trending track.
No, we're going to get to that. I can't talk to you without bringing up the past, and it's still a sensitive issue that you do have those photos. But we're going to get to that. But I did want to say this, that it's one of those things where I was watching you post every week about the progression of this song, because Where I Go to Come Back is not a new song. It must be so weird to see it take so long, but still catching fire.
I'm beside myself with how this song just keeps on going. It's like a little choo-choo train. And I reference that because my little boy likes to watch Thomas the Train. So it's like the little train that could. I mean, we released this song August 31st, and it's middle of February, and we're still adding stations, and it's so exciting, and it's pretty amazing that this is all happening for us.
So let's talk about these photos. You decided to come visit me on Halloween. And I never thought, and I didn't forget that you were coming, but I was also like, man, I got to dress up. And I was the crazy cat lady. That's all I remember. And that's the first time we met. So
that's the first time we met.
And it didn't get much better after that. You're just like, well, whatever. That was a long time ago, and I'm glad you still have the photos, because it's one of those things. And that's not why we picked you as trending track winner, but it helped.
Well, I just that'll be a memory that's ingrained in my mind for of my life. I came when I came to the station, you guys had a really cool a promotional vehicle outside, and I got some pictures there, and then I came inside and there you were in this dress. I'm like, oh my goodness, happy Halloween to me.
Well, I have to tell you, it's funny. As I said, I remembered you were coming, and then I kind of forgot. And then when I got the page, like, hey, Trevor's here to see you. And I was like, oh, God, I am wearing a dress.
That's
you mentioned,
amazing.
You mentioned your boy. One kid, how many kids?
Well, we have two now. We just had our youngest son and final son on December the 14th. So he's a little quarantine baby.
There you go. What do you do when you're home all the time? We know what you did. Not getting there. It's a family friendly podcast.
It either drives you apart or brings you closer. So I think we made the right decision.
All right. So you got your class one and a baby and all this stuff is still happening. You're busier maybe now than you were before, just doing different things. Who gets up at night? Are you getting the whole, well, you're not really working that much, so you should get up with the baby or what?
No, you know what? My wife is amazing that way. And the difference between this baby and the other baby was that, our oldest son, Nash, was, he needed a little bit of supplementing. So I was on bottle duty through the night. And so that gave mom a lot of opportunity to rest a little bit more. So, what happens with Coulter here is that he is not needing supplementation. So I get to just do my thing, and she's very good to me and lets me sleep and get the rest I need for going out and doing this trucking and farming and whatever else I need to do.
That is so great.
I'm a lucky guy.
What have you learned second time around that you wish you had known with Nash?
These two babies they both have the same demeanor. Like, you know, you hear with our oldest Nash, he was like so chill, and it's like, we must be amazing parents because this kid is just awesome. So then people, you know, like braces for the worst. If you have another one, just be aware that it'll probably be a little, maniac and cry, and you won't change a thing, but the baby will just be different. But we've been really lucky that Coulter isn't that way. And I think what the difference is for us is that, you know, we can't just tag team one kid anymore. Like, and, you know, take shifts like, okay, you sleep, I'll take care of Nash. Now we have two. So when one needs attention, the other needs attention. So we're both kind of hitting both kids with on both fronts, but just separately, you know, as a team.
So when you look at the siblings, I'm not the oldest. I'm a middle child, but I'll tell you this, according to my older siblings, as the children, you know, become the second, third, fourth child, they get away with so much more. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Like, I don't know where you fall in your sibling, order, but Coulter is going to get away with so much more than Nash ever did. We just know that you learn so much as a parent, I guess, that you can just let things slide sometimes. Like, oh yeah, whatever. He's crying. Whereas like when Nash would cry, when you first had him, it was like, oh, I got to run. Right. And that's
It'd be helicopter parents. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're right that, there'll definitely be some sliding going on, and plus you're just dog tired, so you don't really have the energy to just put up the discipline that you should. Man, but
my mom had four kids, and my youngest sister, man, she got away with everything. Just saying, like I'm not bitter, but it was All right. So
I was talking to Amanda Kingsland this morning, and she had a really good way of putting it. Like, they have two children as well, and she's like, I just can't imagine having three. Like, you how do you have a third or fourth or fifth child, and you've only got those two sets of hands as parents? like you go from man to man to having to play zone, she said. And I'm like, that's a perfect way to put
that's
it.
That's actually really good. That's really good. Or yeah. you also could just hire someone, right? You know, you're a country artist. You guys got all kinds of cash. You just,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, you bet. I know. Had to go and get my class one to keep the wolves away from the door, Shiloh.
You got the class one to drive the tour bus. Come on. We know.
You're well, see, that's also something that I always thought. If I have my class one, then I can always drive the bus.
Oh, buddy, no, you gotta hire a bus driver.
Just in case the bus driver has too much partying.
That's right.
Belt when it's time to leave the gig.
That will be a perk, right, for the job. Wanted bus driver. The odd time you can drink, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I'd be like the John Connolly of Canada and drive my own bus.
That's right. That's right. Wow, John Connolly, you are a traditional country fan at heart, aren't you?
Well, I love the history of country music, and I think I have my father and Bob Kingsley to thank for that, because when I was a kid,
Bob
I would just
Kingsley, man,
I would listen to that the American Country Countdown faithfully every Saturday, and just fall in love with not only the music but the stories behind the music. Like, I learned so much about all the artists and
stories are
my
crazy.
Heroes. Yeah. Yeah, and later on in life, when I was singing and working at a local farm store as a counter salesman, and there was a guy there named Brian Marshall. He's passed away now, but he was into cutting horses, and so was Bob Kingsley. He was into that realm, and he knew Bob Kingsley, and Brian knew how much country music meant to me, and somehow it came up that Bob was a hero of mine. And so what did my friend Brian at work do? He phoned up Bob Kingsley and asked him to phone back to the farm store at the UFA. And so he did that. And Brian paged me, said, Trevor, line 101's for you. I picked up the phone, and it was Bob Kingsley on the other end of the line.
Did you believe it at first? I'd have been like,
nope.
Shut up. And I would have thought it was someone being a jerk.
I think that's what I said. I think I said shout out to Bob Kingsley, but I had to put my head down a little bit because it got a little bit dusty in the room and I got a little misty, and I just couldn't believe that I was talking to one of my heroes, and he put a little bit of, he talked about me on a show. He sent me, I still have the copy of the CD and the promo and some gift cards that he sent me just because he was that kind of guy. It was amazing.
I owe a lot to him and to, you know, I mean, like someone like Rick Dees, for example, and Casey Kasem and stuff. I know we're going back a ways, but like those are where I heard radio really and kind of got interested in it. And it's funny because you heard music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always wondered why I love the Scooby-Doo cartoon so much, but I think it was because Casey Kasem's voice was Shaggy, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The other day, I wish I could remember which artist posted it. They posted the clip of Casey losing it, and it's a classic. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. It's been floating around for years, and it's just him trying to read this promo, and he just loses his mind because, you know, he messes up, right? And if you've not seen it, I don't know where you've been. I'll send you the link because if you're listening, you guys should, if you haven't checked it out, check it out because Casey Kasem could really lose it. And I love that. Love that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's kind of entertaining a little bit to see these guys just come unraveled sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You've had a lot of interesting jobs then. Like from farming to car dealership to working at a farm store. What was your first job? What was the one that you remember being like, oh wow, I'm working now?
Well, so I grew up on a farm, and I had two older brothers and a younger sister, and so, you know, work was kind of a part of life, and long hours and learning how to drive at 6 years old and pulling a tractor and an implement and all that. So when I was, I guess my first job off the farm was being a yards keeper at the McGrath Golf Course. And I worked for a guy named Vern Wakefield, and he was a family friend. And he was just, he he was a great teacher, and he'd start at 6 a.m. and go till 2. It was a pretty sweet shift. And some of my coworkers would tease me. I'd be cutting greens or raking sand traps, and I'd be singing songs on the on the mowers, and I didn't think anybody could hear, but they could hear me from quite a ways away, because I was just belting it all out, singing Glen Campbell or whatever was on my mind. So I love that job. Then I moved on to being a courier for a hotshot service that had a contract with Big Rock Brewery out of Calgary and Federal Express. So I was a FedEx guy and beer deliverer in Southern Alberta for a couple years.
That is crazy. I would get so excited to see like a beer truck pull up, and then it would be just like an envelope, and I'd be like, oh man, I'm not getting beer today. Come on.
Right. Where's the beer? Well, the beauty part of that was it was a contract job, so I got to drive my pickup truck, my little 89 Chevy short box step side midnight purple. It was like midnight express. It was wicked,
man. Everyone would just know you. The midnight express would show up, and it would be either beer or I don't know what you would get by mail back then, because there was probably no Amazon, but you know it.
Yeah,
world without Amazon is scary to think about now.
And it doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it's getting there.
Yeah. All right. So when things get back to normal, obviously touring is the plan. But in the meantime, are you doing music? Can people check you out? I mean, this song is flying and on the charts, and people need to get to know you better. And that's why we're doing this podcast today, really to get a chance for people to know you, but they want to see you musically. So are you doing videos? Is there videos on your website? What's going on?
You bet. You can, everybody out there is welcome to visit us anytime at trevortown.com. And we've got all of our social media links, as well as our YouTube channel. The Trevor Panzak channel is there. So we've got videos and lots of things going on at Trevor Town that you can spend some time and get to know me a little bit better. And we are doing, we are planning our year the best we can. We did just get I had a little tour in Manitoba all lined up for March, and obviously I don't think we're going to make it there. So we're postponing that into 2022, but thankfully 95% of whatever we've had booked has been, not canceled, but just postponed. I mean, we had a killer year lined up for 2020, and we were going everywhere from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, up to Haines, Alaska. We were going to headline the Southeast Alaska State Fair, and I've been working with those and everywhere in between.
If you go to Alaska, call me, because I watch some of those Alaska shows on the Discovery Channel, and I know there's a lot of bears up there, and a lot of people who are trying to live off the grid, and that's about all, you know. So just if you need some advice.
Well, I've been trying to, I appreciate that, because I enjoy some of those programs too. And I told the band, I said, let's stay another week and go knock on Parker Schnabel's door and see if we can't go gold rushing bit.
Go up and find some gold.
Right?
Go up and find some.
So I don't know if you, and when we were booking that show, the latest season of Gold Rush was on, and we were watching Rick Ness, the guy that has... He wears a cutoff shirt, like sleeveless shirts up there in the Yukon, in the Klondike, and it's like how do you even survive? It's so cold. But anyway, he was underneath Parker Schnabel, and he decided to go out on his own. And then they did a kind of a portion of an episode about the history of him and how he came to be even mining under Parker. And he was a bass player in some kind of hillbilly rock band. And he toured up there and found some work, and that's how he got going. And it was through music that he became a miner.
You could just go up there and do that, following his footsteps. I mean, country music is great, but can you imagine finding gold? Like there's a lot of work that goes into it and a lot of failure, but the day you find some gold, it just there can't be much better, right?
Well, you'd have to think so. Plus, especially with the numbers that they pull in, it's like, oh my goodness, I know there's overhead, but just to have gold in your pocket and just say you did that,
I'm gonna be that guy who follows you around after you get back from Alaska, just hoping that gold dust falls off your pants. Well, just, Shiloh, why are you walking so close to me? Because I'm looking for gold dust.
We definitely need to get together. I don't know how. It's been way too long.
I was also thinking this. You're talking about a Manitoba trip in March. It's pretty bad when you have to go to Manitoba to get warm, right? When that feels like spring break.
I know that they're usually the ones that are.
I know.
Are holding the cold fort down, but
it's trevortown.com, which is great because those of you who are like me still struggle to spell your last name. I was texting people who won our trending track, and I look back at the text, and I don't think I ever spelt your last name the same twice. Just, you know,
that's okay. That's exactly why we went with Trevortown, because trevorpanza.com would be a tough one.
Because you know, there's idiots like me who always will forget the C, because no one ever told me what the I before E was after C in a name. It gets me every time, man.
Yeah. Well, CZ together is kind of a little bit of a trick. And then most people move it right behind the K. So it's PANZACK.
Yeah. I did that too. Spell. Yeah. Actually. And then I think the worst one was I didn't put a C and I put a couple of Z's. I did that at one point as well. So,
oh, that would look good,
man.
It wouldn't be so bad.
I'm learning, though, right? I'll get better. And the last name is from where?
It's a Hungarian name.
Okay. So, do you have any traditional foods that you celebrate?
Oh my goodness, do we ever!
I know.
My grandma used to make a dish called paprikaszczerka, and it's basically Hungarian chicken with paprika in it. And there's a process to cutting up your onions and your garlic, and you cook them down, and then you let them sit, and then you put a bunch of paprika on top of it, and then you get your chicken ready, half bake it, pull it out, put it in a pot on the top of the onions, and then you fill it with water, and then this juice thing happens that is just amazing. And then you make, as that's all going, then I have another pot of boiling water, and I make homemade drop noodles. And then on the side of that, there's something that's called a kapustas tészta, which is a Hungarian cabbage cooked in bacon grease. then you put sugar on top of it after you're done. And bacon bits, and that's really good. It might not sound good just thinking about it. And then on the side of that, there's a cucumber salad that vinegar.
You gotta balance it off with a salad, right? Like
vinegar and more garlic and dill and sour cream and a little bit of mayonnaise, and it just and more sugar.
I'm not trying to be that guy, but apparently, if you kiss a Hungarian, you're doing it at your own risk. Garlic and onions and almost everything you just said.
Well, that's pretty much it. And that's, you know, Transylvania is very in the heart of old Hungary, pre-war Hungary. So I think there's a reason for that.
We've talked about gold. We've talked about farming, trucking, music, and now Transylvania. I don't think we can do much else. Go to trevortown.com and, of course, keep listening for the trending track, and maybe we'll catch up in a few more episodes, because I think it's really great to have you on as a non-new artist to so many people, but a new artist to so many.
Well, this has just meant the world to me that you guys have decided to go with this track, and where I go to come back is if you have a chance to look at the music video, it's one of my most, I don't really open up my cards too much to my personal life, but my little boy's in there, and my wife, and my hometown. And this song is just, it means a lot to me, because wherever we go and we were touring, you know, if we were very fortunate that we always felt like we were coming home no matter where we were on the road. Cause most of these places were just, they're just like us, and they love music, and they want us there. And the audiences were digging what we were doing. And so we actually started calling it the Where I Go to Come Back Tour. And this song was written by Steve Bogard. And if you don't know who Steve Bogard is, he's written 12 number one hits for guys like Dierks Bentley and George Strait and Reba McEntire, and got him on speed dial. He's a good friend, and Dustin Lynch, he was co-writer on that, who's done very well in the States, and another fellow by the name of Jason Seaver. So we got to give kudos to them, and Michael D. Clute and Bob Funk, who helped produce this record down in Nashville. Michael D. Clute, if you don't know who he is a Grammy Award-winning record producer who's worked with Diamond Rio since day one. And, of course, our own, the pride of Carrot River, Saskatchewan, Bob Funk, who's also happens to be married to the lovely and talented Patricia Conroy, is a wonderful man as well, and a great, great representation in Nashville of what Canada has to offer.
Well, we'll leave it there. A lot of big names. That song is going to do so well. And we'll check out the video. We'll get a glimpse of your life. And now I'm starving. So
we never even got into the sausage. But I better go have some lunch too.
Well, wait, hang on. Wait. About it. That's one of my favorite foods is sausage. So we shouldn't maybe talk about that.
Okay. Well, next time. Well. I gotta get some dry ice. The next time we connect, I will bring you some of our. We used to commercially sell homemade Hungarian garlic sausage, so we'll have to get you some sometime.
I have to tell you this: I had no idea that talking with Trevor Panzak was a lot like grocery shopping. You should never do it hungry. Trevor, thank you very much, man.
Shiloh, it's been a real pleasure, and thank you again so much for adding me as the trending track. We really couldn't be more thankful for this, and this is going to be a game changer for us. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
No problem, and the money's in the mail for not leaking those photos again this year.
And we did it all without having to leak them. That's amazing. I thank you again.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.